This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلنا من قبلك إلا رجالا نوحي إليهم من أهل القرى أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم ولدار الآخرة خير للذين اتقوا أفلا تعقلون حتى إذا استيأس الرسل وظنوا أنهم قد كذبوا جاءهم نصرنا فنجي من نشاء ولا يرد بأسنا عن القوم المجرمين.
We are going through the Surah Yusuf, and we are coming to the end of the Surah, and we are in the last few ayat, and today inshallah I'm going to be starting from ayah number 109. If you remember, in the last lesson and the last ayah we discussed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was informing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to tell the people that this way of da'wah and calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my way. And not only is it my way, but it is the way of the people who follow in my footsteps and claim to be my followers and claim to be my ummah. They have to also uphold and implement the work of da'wah and calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not simply the responsibility of a select group of individuals or the imam or just the prophets or scholars, but it is the responsibility of everyone in their own capacity that they should be doing and inviting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So related to that very ayah is today's ayah, which we start from, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the prophets and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that were sent, what were their qualities. And there are basically two things that we can derive from the beginning of the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people that we sent, they were none other than men. So when the word men is used, there are two things that we can derive from that. Firstly, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send a prophet, one of the biggest objections that the people had against the prophet was that why is he a human being and not an angel? In one verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا. The only thing that was preventing people from accepting Iman and accepting the message of the Prophet was that they said that did Allah send a human as a prophet? So the fact that he was a human was an issue for those people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكَ الرَّسُولَ. If there were angels on the earth walking around and living in peace, then we would have sent angels to guide those people, those angels. So angels would be sent to angels. You are human, so a human is sent to you. It's a very easy equation. And the reason behind that is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a prophet, he sends him to be a living example of humans so that the humanity can follow him. So the prophet will follow dietary restrictions and say, these are the dietary restrictions that you're supposed to follow. He will have marital restrictions and rules and regulations, and he will say, look, the way that I marry, you should also marry. And nikah min sunnati, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, and nikah min sunnati, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, he is not from me. So the marital life was shown as an example, for the Prophet. The way he prayed was shown to his followers as a human being. The way he slept was shown to his followers as a human being. Now, if you can imagine, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent an angel or angels as prophets, then the excuse would have been from the people that you angels, you don't need to eat, you don't need to drink, you don't need to sleep, you don't have human needs, and you are telling us that we need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to pray 5 times a day, and we need to fast in the month of Ramadan, and all of these things, and yet you don't have those same needs. All right, you don't have the needs, you don't have to eat or get married or sleep, so it's easy for you to do. But we humans, we have X, Y, and Z needs, and it's impossible for us to do the same thing that you do. Okay, so this would have been the excuse that people would have had if angels had been sent as prophets. And the other thing was that this would be obviously in the case of the angels actually becoming visible. Otherwise, the issue is that also that angels, by their very nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them invisible, and the only way that they could become visible is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving them the nature of humans, meaning that they look and they have their features become like humans, as Jibreel alayhi salam, he used to come in the form of a sahabi named Dahiya al-Kalbi, sometimes to give the wahi to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to be in the image of one of the sahaba. So in that case, if the angel is coming in the shape of a human being, then the same thing applies. They will think, well, you're a human, and you know, why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send a prophet? So then we're back to square one again. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent men as prophets and not angels. This is the answer to one objection. The other thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send women as prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send women as prophets, and the reason for that simply is because, and again, it's kind of a sensitive issue nowadays because of the feminist movement and all that the feminist movement want from society is to be recognized and to be on the same level as men, to be put on a pedestal and to be recognized. And yes, women have made great achievements and great strides in education and in many, many achievements. But there are roles and responsibilities, roles given to men and roles given to women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send women as anbiya, as prophets. He only sent men. And the reason for that is basically that men can basically lead a community because they don't have the same needs and necessities and the same emotional needs as women do. Okay? So, for example, the issue of childbirth, if a woman is giving birth to a child or is pregnant, she has her needs at that time. After giving birth to a child, she has her needs, the children have the needs, they need their mother, so again, she's busy at that time. Whereas the man can free himself up from all of these kinds of obligations and focus on the ummah and the people that are following him without these kinds of distractions that women tend to have. Okay? And this, women should not feel that this is kind of an insult to them or demeaning to them. This was just the way through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom that he actually gave the responsibility to men and not to women. I heard something interesting once, and that is that the problem with women and their attitude of feminism is the fact that they, you know, they look at men and they aspire to be similar to men. That in itself is self-derogatory. It's derogatory to themselves. Why? Because they feel that they are inferior to men, therefore they must try to be on the same level as men. That in itself is self-derogatory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like I said, gave different roles and responsibilities to men and different responsibilities to women. In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated and made it obligatory upon the man to provide for his household and to fulfill the role of the man in the household is to provide financially, to give shelter to his family, his wife and his kids, and to provide, to go out and work, and basically to provide peace to the family. Whereas that is not the woman's role. It is not her responsibility to provide for the family. Her responsibility is to basically look after the child, and that is a great responsibility too. A person, a woman should not feel, oh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. That is, again, demeaning to herself, that she is claiming that being a stay-at-home mom is something derogatory. It is one of the most honorable things that a person could be, and that is why the Prophet ﷺ asked from a sahabi, Ya Rasulullah, man ahaqu bi husni suhbati, who is the one who is more deserving of my good companionship and my good dealings? What did the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, Ummuk, your mother. Thumma man, he said, then after her, who should it be? He said again, Ummuk. And then, Thumma man, who should it be after that? He said again, Ummuk, your mother. Three times he said mother, and then the fourth time he said father. So if the mother, the stay-at-home mom, who thinks of herself as being somehow inferior to the father who's going out to work, she simply needs to look at this hadith and understand the status that the Prophet ﷺ and Islam gave to her. She should not think of herself in any inferior terms. The scholars say that the reason that the Prophet ﷺ gave her this status and said three times is because during the course of becoming a mother, she goes through three difficulties that men do not endure. Firstly, is the difficulty of actually being pregnant. If you can imagine, the woman, when she becomes pregnant, she raises her weight 45 pounds during the pregnancy, approximately, some even more. So if you could imagine, if you could put like a 45 pound weight and tie it onto your stomach and walk around with it 24 hours, sleep with it, walk with it, cook with it, do the housework with it, then you realize how easy it is to become pregnant. Okay? So this is the first difficulty that the woman has to endure. Then the second difficulty the woman has to endure is the childbirth itself, which is the pain of it we cannot even imagine. It is the threshold of pain. It is mentioned, I read somewhere, that at the time of giving birth, the woman has the threshold of pain, which is 9 times more than any man could endure at that particular time. And now, subhanAllah, we have the epidural, which kind of numbs the pain at the time of giving birth. But even despite that, some women choose to have a completely natural birth and don't take any kind of numbing epidural or injection. So again, this is the second difficulty that the woman has. Then the third difficulty is to look after the child for the first 2 years of the life, breastfeeding and changing and bathing and, you know, making sure that the baby doesn't put something in his mouth, childproofing the house. So many difficulties that mainly the woman has to endure. And it is because of these three difficulties that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ummuk three times, the mother, the right of the mother three times over the right of the father. So in any case, we're going back to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent only men as prophets, but the women should not feel that they are somehow inferior because of that. Many women were given their own status in Islam. Maryam, she is the only woman mentioned by name in the Quran, and the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to her as being given a form of wahi. Wa awhayna ila ummi Musa an ardi'i. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave wahi to the mother of Musa that you should breastfeed him, and then فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِهِ فِي الْيَمْ. Once you are fearful of what's going to happen to him, then put him into the sea or the river. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the mother of Musa getting a wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala The scholars say that that wasn't the wahi that prophets get. It was something of a lesser form of wahi, which is known as ilham. Ilham, intuition, a thought that comes into her mind directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not the wahi that prophets are given. Okay, so keep that point in mind, inshallah. So these are the two things that we derive from the beginning of this verse. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ, that we only sent men who we used to give wahi to them, min ahli al-qura, from the people of the dwellings. So the word al-qura, it is the plural of al-qarya, and it refers to villages. But here, it refers to towns where people inhabit, and it is the opposite of al-badiyah, which is the desert or places which are very remote, where people who do not get good access to education, they don't mingle with too many people, and because of that, they are hard-headed and stubborn, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another verse of the Quran, Al-A'rabu ashaddu kufran wa nifaqan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the A'rab, the villagers and people who live in these far-off places, the Bedouins, as the people that have are the most ungrateful, and they have the most hypocrisy within them. So the prophets were not sent to those kinds of people. In fact, there are many hadith where Bedouins came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him the strangest of questions because of the fact that they were from the Badia, they were Badawis, and they didn't know any better. Sometimes they used to deal with him with great disrespect, not knowing the etiquettes of dealing with a person of his status. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet ﷺ to people of cities that were educated, that were accepting of the message, this was the reason that they were sent to such people and not generally to the Bedouins, because obviously the first people that accepted, and then the masses grew, and then the people of the Bedouins, after they saw that people are becoming Muslims, then they would have followed suit. Okay, so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions min ahli al-qura. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Why do they not wander around on the earth and see what was the outcome of the people before them? So this is a message again to people to reflect upon what happened to the people before us. There are so many nations that came before us, so many civilizations, the Egyptian civilization, the Greek civilization, the Roman civilization, the Babylonian civilization, all of these, they had their time in history, and they peaked at a certain point, and they were at these points in history, the people that were looked up to, and people wanted to follow in their footsteps because they were at the peak of their knowledge and the peak of whatever they were doing in those times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned other nations in the Quran too, the people of Shu'aib that excelled in businesses, and the people of Ad, the people of Ad, to whom Hud alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, they were known for their strength and their power. And different nations were given different qualities and different abilities. The people of Thamud were given the ability to carve castles and palaces out of rocks. They were experts in doing that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that we should just reflect upon what happened to those people. Where are they now? They refused the message of their prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them off the face of this earth. And all we can see remaining are the ruins of the palaces that they built and the civilization that they used to be proud of is nothing but ruins. There's a very beautiful example of a place called Pompeii. Pompeii, which is in Italy, which is on the base of a mountain called Mount Vesuvius. If you see the ruins of the people of Pompeii, while they were sleeping, a volcano came and out of the blue basically engulfed them. And you can just look it up online, actually. Pompeii is spelled P-O-M-P-E-I-I. Look at the images of those people that became mummified in the lava. Okay, there's somebody who's basically taking a nap, lying down, and you can see very clearly that he's taking a nap. Another person is just sitting, maybe doing some cooking, sitting in front of a pot, and the lava engulfs him, and he becomes mummified and becomes like a statue with the lava around him. Okay, and there are many, many examples of that. You just look, and just looking at those images makes a person think that, you know, what would happen to us if something like this was to happen in such an instant that we were engulfed by the lava and we were destroyed by this, what would happen to us? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to reflect and think about what happened to the people before us. You know, the same thing can happen to us. And even if it's not a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the end of the day, just like those great civilizations or those civilizations that used to think of themselves as great, they left this world, one day we have to leave this world too. We have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the most pious of people, just like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, just the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabu'u Tabi'een, the scholars, different aspects of even good, pious Muslims have left this world. They had to leave this world behind. We have to also leave this world behind. So we need to take a lesson from that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Do they not wander on the earth and see what happened, what was the outcome of those people that were before them? وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, the abode of the hereafter is better for the people of taqwa. Do they not understand? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Or do you not understand? So this is what we should be aspiring to. This worldly life is a temporary abode for us. It is temporary. We do not know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes, next 5 days, next 5 years. The understanding that many of us have is, I'm going to live till I'm 65, 70. I'm going to retire, have a nice nest egg, get a retirement home, maybe in front of some ocean or something, and relax and live out the twilight of my years in that kind of relaxation. The reality is that we don't know what's going to happen to us in the next 5 minutes. We could leave this world, and time after time we see that people whose janazah we pray, not all of them reach the age of 70. Sometimes they don't even reach the age of 30 or 25 or 20 even. Many people have left this world in their young age. So it is incumbent upon us to make sure that we are prepared for that day which is so certain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls the death certainty. It is so certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls death certainty. وَعَبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until al-yaqeen comes to you. Al-yaqeen, ma'anahu, شَيْ مُتَيَقَّن. Something that is certain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as al-yaqeen, the death. It is so certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it certainty. Subhanallah. So again, وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, the abode of the hereafter is better for those people that have taqwa. Do you not understand? Do you not have aql? Do you not ponder? Do you not think? So this is a beautiful lesson for us to learn today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Inshallah, we'll continue with the lesson next week.